Good morning to each and every one of you. First of all, it is so good to see you all. It is good to have quite a bit of visitors this morning from different places. We got Germany too here this morning, so a lot of different backgrounds and a lot of different countries. Thank you. And of course, most of all, sunshine outside, but sunshine inside. Sun with an O. Now you catch that one already. And what can be better? What can be better? Then all is settled, right? If the sun is inside, then the Bible says, don't worry about it. I'm in control. Don't worry. And if you're anxious, God says, give them to me. I will take care of them in the best possible way that we can ever imagine. This morning, I would like to start with a short reading, a few verses from Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. Mark chapter 9, verse 33. And it reads as follows. Then he came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent, for on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. And he sat down and he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, then he shall be last of all and servant of all. Then he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. There is an old-time question. Who is the greatest? And when I think about those words, then I think about when I was younger. I was the youngest of 14 children. I had 8 brothers and 5 sisters. And between me and my siblings, it was always like, who is the best? And who is the greatest? And then as boys and girls growing up, it remained about the same. Who is the best? Who is the strongest? Who can lift the heaviest crate? It almost seems to be that for all of us, from a young age, we are raised with who is the best? Who can count farther? I can read 2 pages. My mom is the best. My father is the best. And of course, while some of these things are really good, something needs to change along the way. Because in Christ, we need to outgrow all of that. As Mark chapter 9 is helping us to understand. So the Bible says when one becomes a Christian, what happens, Ella? When one becomes a Christian, everything becomes new. 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
A new creation.
A new creation. With the emphasis, of course, on if something is a new creation, then something is buried. And when something is buried, of course, we talk in even human terminology, they are not with us anymore. They're gone. And so in the Christian life, we need to outgrow something. And that is not who is the greatest, that needs to go out of our vocabulary, and it needs to go out of our system.
We are all equal.
We are all equal, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, of course, Jesus, he said to the disciples, what were you talking about? What did I hear? And it says they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed. The word disputed is a strong word. Disputed is not like, hey, just guys, hey, you know, we're having a good time and we're just having nothing to do. So who do you think is better? Who do you think is greater? No, it even uses the word they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. It was like, Peter, I think I'm better than you because this or this or that. And Peter might say, you know, I am better because of this or this or that. Those 12, they were still quite fleshly minded. Now, somehow, somewhere, we probably may conclude that it had to do with the kingdom. Because Mark doesn't say anything about that, but when you read Matthew chapter 20 through 28, you read about how a mother comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, when you come into that kingdom, can my two sons sit on one on your left and one on your right? What did they have in mind? From all appearances, we can say they had in mind Jesus sitting on a throne with splendor, with gold, with majesty, and they would be the 12 who, of course, had walked with Jesus all that way, all the way to the throne, all the way to that splendor and majesty. So at least two examples, Matthew 20 and also Mark chapter 10, verse 25 through 45, there was disputing among the disciples about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And yes, of course, when we talk about the kingdom, it started with John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was given over to Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom was an important theme in the preaching of the gospel. And they all had it said in their minds. Oh, wow. There comes a time when Jesus really sits on the throne in Jerusalem. Jesus is going to rule. And now they were disputing among themselves. Who is the greatest? And brothers and sisters, to make it personal, don't we all sometimes have those life experiences that we actually come to think that we're quite good? And I don't mean that in a wrong way necessarily. But one day you're holding up your diploma and it says, I am an expert in law. Or I am an expert in psychology. Or I'm an expert in banking. Or I'm an expert in ICT. Or I'm an expert in this. And yes, all these things are good. They belong to this life. So yes, we all have those experiences where we are placed high. We all experience great moments when the human factor comes into play, as it did in the life of the apostles. And the question is, what do we do? What do we do when we get a career? What do we do when we are presented as the CIO or CEO of this company or that company? What does it do to us? And so we can say, even with the Apostle Paul, how great it is when God sometimes says no. We read that in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me as a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am strong, then when I am weak, then I am strong.'" Isn't that a beautiful testimony? And isn't that something that we should even be praying for? Paul says, "I boast." That's another strong word. The word disputing was a strong word. Fighting. But now the Apostle Paul says with another word, "I boast in my infirmities. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities." Brothers and sisters, what was the last time that you took pleasure in an infirmity? What was the last time that you took pleasure in a reproach? They used and abused your name. And you said, "God, thank you." Pleasure in needs. When was the last time that you had a need? You had a sleepless night. You were crying. Your hands were up. "Lord, I just don't know it anymore." When was the last time? Persecutions, distresses, for Christ's sake, with the emphasis on for Christ's sake. Not any sake, because the Bible says if you do wrong and you are reproached, that is what happens to all of us. So, brothers and sisters, we all have these life-changing moments of good things. And it's wonderful. But please remember, according to the Apostle Paul, infirmities, reproaches, needs, persecutions, distresses, they bring you further with Christ. They get you deeper into Christ. They get you deeper into where you really need to be. "For when I am weak, then I am strong. I have become a fool in boasting. You have compelled me." Brothers and sisters, what a powerful message. And it all has to do with growing together with Christ. So yes, difficult times are good for us. That's the spirit of a Christian. That's the spirit of true Christianity. And again, why? The question is, why? And the answer is, when we suffer, then we suffer together with Christ. We become more like our Master. And that is the design of Christianity, to become like Jesus. now in his sufferings, but later in his glorification. Now, when you look at the context of Mark chapter 8, let's give some time to the context of chapter 8. He says in chapter 8, verse 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again." And then it says he spoke this word openly. This was the first time in the book of Mark that Jesus spoke about his upcoming death, his upcoming suffering, his upcoming rejection. And it says he spoke it openly. Now then, when you look at chapter 9, in the first couple of verses in chapter 9, we find that Jesus, with three of his apostles, goes to the Mount of what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And we see that three tents are being set up. But we also know that voice came from heaven. "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And then again in Mark chapter 9, verse 30 through 32. "Then they departed from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know it, for he taught his disciples and said to them the second time, 'The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day.' But they did not understand this saying and were afraid to ask about it." So when we look at the context of chapter 9, we see that Jesus, number one, in the first place in chapter 8, talked about his upcoming death the first time. In chapter 9, he talked about it a second time. But somehow, somewhere, their eyes were not where they should have been. Their eyes were on a physical kingdom, and they did not understand it. And even with the Mount of Transfiguration, with Moses and Elijah, the Old Covenant, "Hear ye him," they were not listening to Jesus. And the question was and is, how many warning signs did they need? Because they were still fleshly. They were disputing among themselves, who is the greatest? But the question also is, how many warning signs do we need? Because number one, we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. That should cause us to serve. That should cause us not to say who is the greatest. We have been blessed with an eternal hope. We know that judgment is coming. We know that this world is coming to an end. We know that there are so many people living without Christ. We know that there are so many people in denominational groups that are not following the right teaching. We are surrounded with a society that is anti-God. Brothers and sisters, if there is ever a need for people to serve, it is now. If there is ever a need for people to get big in God, it is right now. This world needs examples. So we ask the question, what is Christianity really all about? And of course, we can answer that question with many answers. But in light of this morning's thoughts, I would like to suggest what true Christianity is all about is becoming a servant to everybody. becoming a servant to all. Becoming a servant even to your enemy. Becoming a servant even to the one that reproaches you. Even to the one that uses you. That is what this world needs. That is what true Christianity is all about. In Acts chapter 2, you find that those people had everything in common. They shared with one another when the need arose. They shared with one another. But even when you look at Galatians chapter 10, 6 verse 10, be good to all, but especially to the household of God. What is true Christianity all about? And again, we can answer with many right answers. But in light of this morning's lesson, be a servant to all. And I would like to suggest, if the church takes on that command seriously, I would truly believe the church would grow faster. If Christians are living the way that Christians should be living, the church should grow faster. In the same context, Jesus says in verse 42, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. In another place it says, stumbling blocks will come, but woe to him by whom the stumbling block is coming. Brothers and sisters, can I ask a confrontational question? How many people have been denied access to heaven by your actions? By your wrong actions? How many? And I believe, again, that is a serious question. Jesus said it, temptations will come, but woe to him by whom temptations will come. We see a world. When I go in Harderwijk and I talk to the people on the street, they said to me, no, because that church, when I was younger, did this. When I was younger, this church did this. When I was younger, this church was doing that. Please don't talk to me about religion. And then I say, well, let's not talk about religion. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus. Because his message is still good for everybody. But we are living in a world in which too many Christians are not living the way that they should be living. And I include myself. And what a tremendous difference it would make if Christians are living the way that Christians should be living. And in light of this morning's lesson, can you be a servant to everybody? Because that is what Jesus said. Then you will be truly great. But even when you look at Adam, but when you look at Abel and Cain, what was being said? Am I my brother's keeper? What is our heart? Where is our heart? We are our brother's keeper. We are responsible towards other people. The Bible even says in the book of Philippians, I believe it is, let your friendliness be known to all people. Brothers and sisters, I would like to suggest if we truly live the way that we should be living, and please understand, I'm not saying that you're not doing that, but we need to be encouraged to go deeper with God. We need to be encouraged to go deeper with Him. And that means we will serve our fellow men, no matter what. And so, what does Jesus do? In Mark chapter 9, he took a little child and set him in the midst of them. And then it says this, look at that carefully. And when he had taken him, in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him that sent me." What a beautiful picture. Jesus, the one who created everything, he took a little child, helpless, defenseless, nothing to give, but he took this little child in his arms. And Jesus set an example. And so he said, if anyone wants to be first, and the word first, the Greek word that is used here, means to be foremost. God says, whoever wants to be foremost. What would people say when you say, hey, who wants to be first? Who wants to be foremost? Who wants to be first in rank? Everybody likely will say, yes, I want to be first. God says, if you want to be protos, that's the Greek word that is being used here, then you need to become echatos. And echatos is a word that means last. It is used in time. It is used in position in the scripture. And it means the farthest. If you want to be first, you need to become the farthest. That is what Jesus is saying. And then, of course, he connects it to the word servant. A servant to all. And you know, when I looked up that word servant in the Greek, the first words it says, to run errands. Now, we know what that means, right? To run errands. I know many of us did that when we were younger. Our parents told us, Ruth, go to the store and get me some milk, get me this, get me that. And what did you do? You went to the store. When we were young, our parents sometimes told us to go to the store. For those of you that are younger among us, your parents probably are still telling you sometimes to go to the store and get some things. This is what this word means, to run errands. So you get a list. And the list says milk, cookies, bananas, some bread, and maybe some other things. What do? You go to the store, you get the things, and you come home. At least that's what I did most of the time. Anyways, this is what it's all about. This is what Christianity is all about. When we were converted, we signed a shopping list. And Christ says, this is what you need to get. And one of the things was, I want you to be a servant to all. Don't talk about who they are. Don't talk about what they do. There is a blank command. Go and do good. And so, the book of Galatians in chapter 5, verse 24, Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity to the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So, brothers and sisters, the last question that we're going to ask. What about it? What about faith? What about our shopping list that God gave us when we were converted? Yes, the charge was
hold the faith. Yes, the charge was hold the right doctrine. Yes, the charge was come together on the first day of the week. Yes, the charge was study together. Yes, the charge was hold the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Yes, the charge was, and we can go on. But one of the greatest charges, and probably one of the most beautiful charges, is become a servant to all. And you will be great in the kingdom of God.
In Luke 22, verse 24 to 30, it says, and there was a dispute among them, which of them seemed to be greater. But he said to them, the kings of the heathens are lording it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But you are not thus, but the greatest among you must continually become like the younger, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who reclines or the one who serves? It is not the one who reclines, but I am in your midst as the one who serves. And you are the ones who have stood by with me in my afflictions. And I am assigning to you, just as my Father assigned a kingdom to me, so that you would eat and you will drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will be seated upon thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So when we are like the youngest, then we will in fact judge others.
Ultimately, yes. Ultimately, we will be judges, yes. Yeah. One word that caught my attention, Ella, was the word continually. Yeah. We need...
Yes, indeed, this one. There's not always in every translation.
Okay, okay. But I think we can imply that, right? The word continually. Now look at that last statement and we're going to close. It says, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, with the emphasis in my name, and receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me. So Jesus says this, if you receive that little child in my name, if you serve that little child, defenseless, harmless, nothing to offer, if you serve that little child, you receive me. And when you receive me, you receive actually the Father. Wow. Isn't that amazing? By serving other people, that is the true connection of true humanity. Serving one another and so be truly connected to God. So, brothers and sisters, in closing, we need to become masters in giving and sharing. That is Christianity to the core. We need to become masters in serving others. That is Christianity. And I would truly like to say that is what would make the church grow. But brothers and sisters, what do we see today? Sometimes there is fussing. Sometimes there is fighting. Sometimes even within the church. One of the greatest damages that can be done to the church is fighting and fussing within the church. We are one. We have one rule book. We can make it. We can be one.
Does that mean we always see eye to eye on everything? Likely not. But we can be one in spite sometimes of the small differences that are there. And remember, the church is not about me. The church is not about you. The church is about God. The church is about Jesus. And so, we need to become masters in serving and in giving. So I'm going to close with these words from Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 through 30. Well-known words. But again, as I sometimes will say, sometimes you say, oh, I know that word. I know that verse. I've heard that before. But sometimes we need to ask the question, have we really seen it before? Have we really understood it? And so, Matthew chapter 28 says, 20, in verse 28 through 30. And I see that I do not have the right chapter. Okay, yes, 27 and 28. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called unto himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whosoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for money, for many. How beautiful. And brothers and sisters, we ask again, have we truly understood what these verses mean? Have we truly understood it? Let us show by our actions. Amen.